We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. We are in Scotland, to be precise, at Peebles Hydro in the Border Country, at the annual conference of the Incorporated Society of Musicians, whose president, I am proud to say, is one of the following: John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norton, or Ian Wallace! Have to guess which. Since we're in Scotland, let's begin with a Scots singer and an opening question for John Amis to answer.
Ven amor, bien aimé, pourquoi me désespérer près de la porte fermée? Je veux encore demeurer.
Who's the singer, John, and if possible, singing what?
It's that piece from that opera by
That's him. That's the fella, the king of somewhere.
Le roi dix.
That's it.
Lalo.
Yes. That's right. And the singer,
the gentleman who is a reverend gentleman, isn't he?
No, he's not. No,
he might. Giving hints all over the face.
He might sing in a Scots beer cellar.
Scots beer
that's,
cellar.
That's an ad lib cue, folks. I just worked that out cue, myself. Yeah. Yes.
McGuinness, McHeinekens. I don't think I know, do I? In spite of these kind people in the front row showing me all their false teeth.
Yeah. Ian, put him out of my misery.
Kenneth McKellar,
it was, yes. Singing thank an excerpt you. From Le Roi Dix, but you have half the mark, John.
Oh, thank you.
Frank, another Scots performer, and to identify him, you'll have to listen very closely. Who, Frank?
I think there's only one who sort of laughed his way onto the stage.
Yes.
With a bent walking stick.
Bent crummock, yeah. Or something, that's right. He was.
Sir Harold Lauder.
Yes, thank you. Let's hear part of his song.
Oh, it's very nice. Yes, it's very, very nice.
What is very nice, Frank?
Well, don't ask. I've got a personal, subjective opinion.
In the song, I mean.
It's not getting up in the morning, is it?
No, it's the opposite.
Going to bed?
No.
You're not going to argue with my...
Ian, put him out of his misery.
Well, it's a slightly rarer one, but is it breakfast in your bed on Sunday morning?
That's what it is, yes.
I'm sure you weren't allowed breakfast in bed in Scotland in those days.
Well, that's why I said it was such a marvellous thing to have.
The Ian Wallace show so far, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be further, too, because it's Ian's turn now, Mr. President, sir. Laughter, which we heard there, rather unamused laughter of Sir Harry Lauder. Laughter is infectious. Can you tell me, please, who has the laugh here? So on.
I've never dared put that into my repertoire, Steve. It is a young lady called Adele.
Yes.
And she is at a ball or a party given by Count Orlovsky, and she is wearing her mistress's ball frock, and up comes her mistress's husband and says, you look like Adele. And she says, rubbish. Laughs it to scorn.
Absolutely, yes. Johann Strauss, the composer. Did you recognise the singer on that recording?
I was...
Well, John, can you spy the singer?
It wasn't John.
No, it wasn't.
Close. But...
Sorry, it wasn't my question. I wasn't listening.
Yeah. It was Rita Streich singing there, but you've got the mask, of course. Adele. Dennis, still on the subject of laughing.
Comrades will be laughing, laughing while we drink our wine. Laughing while we drink our wine. For we begin to be laughing, nature does to man confine.
Nature does to man confine.
For we begin to be laughing, nature does to man confine. We'll be laughing.
Dennis, what would you guess was the original nationality of that song?
It's kind of mirthless in a strange. You know what it reminded me of?
I'll buy that.
Does anybody remember an old comedian called Horace Kenny?
Yes.
He used to come on and sing, I'm going to sing a happy laughing cobbler's song. Well, it was that kind of mirthlessness. German, I would say.
Yes, it's German by Frank Apt of the 19th century. It was his Opus 323.
Is it in your book, Frank, somebody said a German joke is no laughing matter?
Wasn't it a nice remark? Vera Deal, one of our listeners in Chilham, Kent, sent me a small ad from her local paper which read, baritone, in perfect condition, £140. So they're going up.
In Kent, they don't like to mention sacks.
Lovely. Questions now concerning this and that. John, what happened when Elgar went to Grimthorpe?
I think he went down the mine.
No, a particular Elgar went to a particular Grimthorpe. Now, you can work that out.
Well, it's nothing to do with the Grimthorpe Colliery Band.
Yes, it is, but it's nothing to do with Sir Edward Elgar.
Then it's Gary Howarth.
Yes.
Yes. So it's... Well, he got a job conducting the Colliery Band.
Yes.
And brought it to great fame and...
Revitalised them, indeed, yes. Elgar Howarth, to give him his proper name, revitalised the Grimthorpe Colliery Band. Frank, if you call five players a quintet and nine players a nonet, what would you call 100 men and a girl?
A film with Deanna Durbin.
Absolutely right.
And Robert Stack.
Was he in it? I'd forgotten that.
I think he was the ingenue male lead.
Who were the 100 men?
They were the New York Philharmonic.
No, it? Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yes, with the conductor.
Yes, there was a conductor.
Yes, there was a conductor. you got him.
Stokowski,
yes, Stokowski. Ian, a quotation. It is the most beautiful instrument of all, but it is also the most difficult to play. Richard Strauss's words, what was he talking about?
Well, he wrote some wonderful music for horns. I've always understood the horn was a very difficult instrument to play.
He was flattering you more than that. He was talking about the human voice.
Was
the
it
most difficult of all to play? And that little murmur of approval came from every singer in the house.
Well, I don't know. I've
not from their accompanists. Ah, you've dropped a mark here, never mind. Dennis, this is a test of observation, and it may defeat more than a few people here. I know you don't play the piano, but you've seen them often enough. Without leaning forward to look at mine here, tell me what you would say is the ratio of black to white notes on the keyboard.
Inequitable.
That would be so, actually, yes.
Well, I would say we have an audience here of musical knowles who've been murmuring the answer all through so far, but I would think it's about a third.
Well, it's 5 to 7 in any given octave, but over the whole keyboard it's the ratio of 36 to 52. In other words, 9 to 13.
Oh, yeah, it's difficult to sound, though. Yeah. I would be very fortunate indeed to have hit on 9/13.
9/13. Ratio of 9/13. I think we give him the mark for that. Yes. Near enough. Yeah. One third, two thirds. I'm going to play on the piano here beside me a bit out of the middle of something. Right? John, what's this when it's in 3/4 time? Not when it's in 2/4 time. And so on. Any idea? Comes from the middle of.
Yes, we have
no from Yes, We Have No Bananas, but in its original form is... Doesn't anybody know? I dreamt that I dwelt in marble halls. By Balf. No marks to anybody, I think, there. Another middle, this time for Frank. Frank.
Is it Billy Mayle?
Yes, and its most famous composition.
Marigold.
Marigold, yes. Yeah. Bit, middle bit out of the first strain of Marigold. Good. Ian, the jam from a well-known sandwich. Very dramatic, this. Now, what's that from?
Oh, yes, one of those wonderful old ballads, is it
not? Yes, the most wonderful old ballad.
Excelsior.
Excelsior, yes. Also by Balfe. Mm. The bit where the singer sings, "Beware the pine tree's withered branch, beware the awful avalanche." This was the peasant's last goodnight. Great platform song from the old days.
Mm. You know, Ben Travers, the fast writer, wrote a short story claiming that, in fact, was one of the earlier advertising devices. And the youth bore a banana with a strange device. And it was the Excelsior Banana Company. It works terribly well.
Lovely idea. Yeah. Another middle bit. Dennis, the middle eight, as it's called, is almost always the third of four eights, not the middle eight. Here is then the third of four eights of a popular tune. Which tune? No,
just sneak me in a couple more notes. Star Eyes.
Star Eyes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Star Eyes. I think a half mark. No, for that, yes.
Generous.
Some years since that was popular. In the round that follows, you get a mark for naming the year in question. John, A Shimmy for Piano by Hindemith, Opus 26. What year is that?
1922?
Yes, it's called 1922, Suite for Piano, the movement one. March, Shimmy, Nachstück, Boston and Ragtime. Frank, which year does this depict? Yeah.
It's rather lovely music, and rather difficult to distinguish the plot of the word. it started off ecclesiastical, and then got rather historical and warlike with sounding brass and things. Do you know what it is?
No.
Fine. Right, we'll start from there and build.
Deo gratia.
Did you hear them sing Our King Went Forth to somewhere?
Well, Henry the Fourth.
So
we're building.
Well, you're warm.
Henry the Fifth.
Yeah. A year then, please.
Edgegorb, early 15th century.
Yes, all right.
Around the time of the founding of St. Andrew's University.
Somebody said it.
1415.
25th of October, 1415 it was. Yes, Agincourt. You could have got a mark for saying 1944, which was Walton's film score. Never mind. Ian, Noel Coward's Drury Lane musical comedy with Mary Martin, Daphne Anderson, Graham Payne and Mantovani's orchestra. A year for that.
Oh, yes.
Peaceful year.
Well, yes, that was a very important year for me because just along the road we were starting up with the new London Opera Company at the Cambridge Theatre.
Yes, that's right.
And that was on at Drury Lane at the time, and it was 1946.
But the show was called, I said, A Peaceful Show.
Oh, I see. The peaceful show was called Pacific 1860.
Yes, 1860 was the date I was really after.
Oh, I see. I thought you wanted the date when it went
no,
on.
No, fair. Dennis, the year in your question is represented by an overture. As a clue, here is one note played by one of the musicians towards the end of the piece.
Oh,
see how he always tempers the wind? Yeah. Yes. Sean Lamb.
Yeah. You got it, have you?
Well, it's got to be 1812.
Yeah, it's got to be 1812, yes. Composed in 1880.
Which month?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody recognise the gun? It wasn't the Edinburgh one, it was the Liverpool 1 o'clock gun that you actually heard there on that recording. The songs of Schubert have such memorable introductions that it's hardly necessary for the song to follow before one can identify the title. Well, we'll see. John, what is this? Which Schubert song?
Which Schubert song?
Yes.
I don't know the song, but it sounds like Schumann to me.
It's a stormy song.
Der Sturm.
Der Sturm. Right? Frank.
The Trout.
I will begin again.
Played by
Frank.
Julian Bream.
Frank. I'll not be put off my stroke, Frank. Which of Schubert's songs begins like this?
Sam Enchanted Evening. Yeah. It is the Trout after all these years.
Ian, one of Schubert's later songs for you.
One of the things that you learn when you are president of a musical society is to delegate responsibility.
Done.
And so I propose to ask the 100 or odd people in the audience who would know what that song was.
It's not 1812. You know, if it's not the Trout or 1812, then Muir and Yorkshire.
You mean to say nobody is going to... Answer comes then none?
You're getting to be a turbot with me.
Anybody, John, do you know?
It's Afterbrook.
Afterbrook, yes.
Afterbrook.
Yes, translation is really where you are, ISM-wise, Ian. It's upon the bridge. rather stormy again. I hope I didn't give the impression that John's song was called The Storm. It wasn't. It was Der Sturm. Dennis, you may not know the title, but you'll be able to indicate how this goes on, thus becoming, for the first time in your life, a leader singer.
Your faith in me was misplaced. Can I give you a bit of Schubertiana?
You may not know. Yes. It's the Schubert Theatre in New York.
No. It's a verse that I came across a couple of weeks, probably old hat to the Cognoscenti. I never heard it before, and it went, if I can remember it. Schubert had a horse called Sarah. He took it to the big parade. And all the while the band was playing, Schubert serenade. Well, if they say, if you can't sing, do a comic verse.
Would you like your president's friend to have a bonus mark for that? Right, give the boy a mark for that. Disastrous results to the score, but never mind. There's a common bond between the four final songs this week. They were composed by either Meyer Beer, Sammy Fain, Carmen Lombardo, or Sir Arthur Sullivan. That's what they have in common. John, Meyer Beer, from the opera L'Africaine, Au Paradis, a grand air, it says on the music, sung by Vasco, whom I take to be Vasco da Gama, I suppose. Shall we explore it together in the strange territory of six flats?
Yes, all right.
I'll give you a
very high stuff, this.
Good luck.
Wish I wore my tighter trousers.
Oh, paradis, sorti de l'onde, ciel si bleu, ciel. Thank you.
Argentina, te mon pays.
You know, when Florence Foster Jenkins, that well-known singer, had an accident, a car accident, they all thought that she was going to sue the other motor car. But she wrote and thanked them because she said when she sang the Queen of the Night aria, she could get a higher E-flat than she never got before.
That's lovely story. Frank's song, appropriately enough, comes from a film called Vogues of 1938. That old feeling.
Right. Go, go. I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came inside, I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, I felt a thrill. And when your eyes met mine, my heart stood still. Once again, I seem to feel that old yearning, and I know the spark of love is still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start when that old feeling is still in my heart.
I hope, Dennis, I hope you're not feeling overawed by the musical company presently.
I've got that old feeling.
Even the best musicians can occasionally be brought low. Gillian Shilson wrote to me from Surbiton, Surrey, to tell me that some weeks ago in our programme, when John Amos was giving us the flower song from Carmen, her small son burst into the room and said, "Oh, is that Miss Piggy?" She says, was bitterly disappointed when he found it wasn't.
So am I.
Seems like old times.
Oh, yes, shouldn't it? This is a little-known television nostalgia programme, as this is a singer tune, so I said, seems like old times. Having you to walk with seems like old times. Having you to talk with, and it's still a thrill just to have my arms around you. Still the thrill that it was the day I found you seems like old times. Dinner dates and flowers just like old times. Staying up for hours doing things we do. Making dreams come true seems like old times. Being here with you. Approximate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Ian, it's high time for some G and S. Or as we composers like to put it, S and G. Right? Titwillow.
On a tree by a river, a little Tom Tit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. and a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, Willow, tit Willow, tit Willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Ooh, Willow, tit Willow, tit Willow.
And with a shake of my poor little head, I report that the victory this week goes to neither side. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part, my music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schrach.